Smartphone users have tens of thousands of health-related apps to download, everything from calorie counters to tips on overcoming depression. But on the internet, no one knows if you're a quack. So the FDA is starting to take a look at the quality of mobile health apps. It's a daunting task for an agency already stretched thin. Bakul Patel is Senior Policy Advisor at the FDA's Center for Devices and Radiological Health and joins us now. Good morning, Mr. Patel.
Good morning.
So first of all, tell us about the FDA's mandate. What mobile apps do you regulate or will you regulate?
So last year, July 11th, we proposed a policy which basically targeted a small subset of mobile apps that either became a medical device that we traditionally know as a medical device or actually connected to a medical device. So that's what we targeted, really focusing on a very small subset. But on the other hand, we're encouraged by all the patient-empowering apps that counts calories. But on the other hand, making sure that when apps do some very high-risk interventions, we have a safe and effective product in patients' hands and consumers' hands, so no unintended consequences are posed on patients.
Can you just give me a couple examples of what some of those very medically sensitive, important apps are?
Yeah, for example, I mean, we have already cleared a few apps, and you may have seen this. There is an app which actually takes a ultrasound wand and connects to a smartphone, and now your smartphone is now an ultrasound machine, portable ultrasound machine. Very exciting, and we've cleared that. There are other apps like allows doctors to view x-rays on their iPads or smartphones or tablets. There are other similar ones that take into account bedside monitors and displays that critical signals in an ICU on a smartphone, so doctors have access to it. So those are some really critical apps where timing is important, assuring that data showing up and the information showing up on your smartphone or the display is critical.
I guess you'd have to be careful not to get all that ultrasound glop all over your cell phone, though, when you're using it that way. And I imagine the FDA has to sort of draw a line between where you leave off and where, say, the FTC would pick up in, say, just false claims that aren't dangerous, like blueberries that reduce belly fat.
Mm-hmm.
Would that be – is that something you're trying to do?
Yeah, so we always interact with other agencies like FTC. There's a line between – where does a product become safe and effective? That's where FDA gets involved in. And then, obviously, like you mentioned, there are areas where it's misleading claims can actually fall into the Commerce or FTC part. So we definitely collaborate with them to draw that line continuously.
And there are, as you say, thousands and thousands of these apps. How do you know where to begin? And tell us the process. Do you download them and play with them right there in the agency?
No, so we don't. I mean, it's as you can imagine, it's probably unfeasible to download each one of those 500 million apps, which are going to happen by 2015, to do that. So what we have done, what we proposed last year, was actually some guidelines for folks to take into account which medical apps or which apps which are claimed as medical do fall under our jurisdiction and which don't. The ones that don't are clearly something that would not fall in our jurisdiction. But then there are some apps that are so low risk that we would not want to be overseeing them, but actually are beneficial for patients at the end of the day. And some of them are like the calorie counting, so preventing obesity or preventing promoting healthy lifestyle. But on the other hand, when we said high-risk apps or things that would cause patient harm when they don't work, is something that was. So we created general guidelines to help guide the industry and consumers that how they should be looking at this.
So tell me exactly, perhaps clarify that, what do apps need to be regulated for? I mean, is it simply sort of to have the FDA stamp of approval that it is medical as opposed to just sort of healthy or good for you? You know, because you can't just stop apps from, say, being on iTunes or somewhere on the net.
Right. So that's the reason why we focused on this very small subset that either turns like mobile platform into a medical device. Like, and I gave some examples of you turning your smartphone, attaching some sensor into a medical device like an ultrasound machine, or you're turning it into an EKG machine, or you're controlling a blood pressure cuff, or controlling some other device. Those are the areas that we already know that either has great utility, on the same token requires safety and effectiveness oversight.
But what about site? By the way, we're speaking with Bakul Patel. He's the senior policy advisor for FDA Center for Devices and Radiological Health. Mm-hmm. What about, I guess you're on the devices end of the agency, but are you able to answer whether medical advice about drugs and so forth that might be online in an app, is that something FDA is also looking at?
So that line of where we provide information, where apps provide information generically, that's already been cleared by FDA, is something that we are excited about, like providing timely information. But on the other hand, we have taken a look at, or we are taking a look at now, is when such apps will now change into giving specific directions for treatment or therapy. That's where we would be concerned about if those treatments and therapies are in the right and are right for that particular patient.
And have you come across anything, say, in the device area that you've looked at or you found and said, "Whoa, we got to put a stop to this one"?
Yes, there are some things. You saw last year FTC took an action against an app that claimed to cure acne by, putting the screen of an iPhone or a smartphone next to your skin. I mean, those were FTC kind of claims. I think we have seen some others that either people are in the process of developing and they're coming through. And you've seen some of the examples I talked about. The EKG machine is the one that folks have been trying to get through FDA. Also, have been talked about getting through FDA. I don't know exactly if they're submitted or not. But Mobisante, Airstrip, the radiological apps are apps that we noticed, or the folks noticed who already know about FDA rules had come to the door. But we haven't seen anything that's extremely problematic in an area that we would take action. And if there was something, I'm not sure we are aware of that right now.
So give us a sense of the timing sort of your rules. Are you still working on some of the rules? Are you beginning to put them into action? What's the time frame for this?
So we are, since it's been almost a year since we published the proposed guidelines or proposed policy, we are in the process of taking the comments we received back, and we received many comments of how we should consider balancing innovation in this area, but at the same time making sure that patients are safe. We are taking that input. We are actually revising our draft proposal, providing more clarity, actually mainly towards providing more clarity. And we intend to put it out as a final guideline, hopefully soon. We are targeting end of the year, end of 2012 is where we are targeting.
Now, a lot of agencies in this whole mobile area that are trying to get their data used have had developers come into the agency, and they have coding events and so forth. Any consideration of having people that develop these medical types of applications come into the FDA and get a briefing and maybe exchange ideas so you can get the best practices out there among more developers?
So we do that on a very regular basis. I have personally participated in events where we've actually talked about what people should consider when they're making apps or decoding for apps. And we collaborate within HHS, within agencies or between agencies, what considerations should be taken. And we are well aware. At the same time, we are excited, we actually encourage some of these developers to take data and make it meaningful. But also there are some very unique considerations when you're in a mobile platform or a mobile environment that needs to be considered. I'll give you a quick example. If you're doing a really sensitive intervention with a patient, and if there's a phone call that comes in, do the developers take into account what they should do for that particular application? So that's the kind of sort of thinking people need to sort of put into place. And it boils down to, can you manage the risk of your particular product or particular application so it performs as you intend to perform?
Bakul Patel is the Senior Policy Advisor at FDA Center for Devices and Radiological Health. Thanks so much for joining us.